You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Sports Radio Network.
All right, it's Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next 2 hours or so. Joining us now, it's Ben Volen from The Globe. He joins us on the Harbor One Bank Hotline. Ben, thanks for taking some time, man. We really appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for giving me a break from parenting and being quarantined and giving me an excuse to get away from it and talk some football.
Yeah,
thank
Ben,
you.
Ben, I just wanted to do a wellness check on Isle Volen. Barrett, we don't live too far away from each other. Actually, Ben lives in the house he bought from someone else I used to coach Little League with, and he's got two young kids in the house as well. I can't tell you, Volen, how much I look forward to coming into the radio station to talk with grown adults about sports, even when we have the whiniest of callers. I can't tell you how much I look forward to, like, the virtual happy hours with my friends on Zoom just to, like, maintain some sanity. So even whenever you have to deliver your most unpopular opinion right now, it's just it's a chance not to have your kids, like, jumping all over you, throwing stuff on the floor, or asking if it's okay to put makeup on your face again.
No kidding. We've built a bunch of forts. We've created an 18-hole mini golf course around the house. It's tough. I mean, no matter how old your kids are, there's a challenge. I'm lucky that, you know, my kids are 2.5 and 10 months, so I don't have to explain to them all this craziness, what's going on. They have no idea what's happening. They just know they don't go to school anymore. But yeah, it requires constant attention. And these people that are, you know, bored and looking for things to stream on Netflix, like, I would kill to be bored right now.
So, Ben, let's get into the article you had up this week about the possibility of the Pats trading up for Tua Tagovailoa, of course, the quarterback out of Alabama. So why would this make sense from Detroit's perspective? Because we know Miami's got a whole lot to offer in terms of the draft capital. But one of the things you pointed out in the article was that the Patriots package may be more appealing. And why do you say that?
Well, I say that because I think the Lions are in a position now where their head coach, Matt Patricia, and their GM, Bob Quinn, are on the hottest of hot seats in 2020. They got to win. They barely survived last offseason. They have to win this year. So I don't really think they're in a position where they want a bunch of draft picks. I think they want real players who can step in right away, and they don't have to be coached and taught too much. They know how to play in the NFL. So, I think they will use the number three pick, of course, if they don't get a great offer. But to me, that's the Tua seat. I think Joe Burrow goes one, and Chase Young almost certainly goes two to Washington. And then number three becomes the hot seat for Tua. And if any team wants him, I think Detroit's going to be open for business. I think they don't have much use for Tua in terms of, like I said, they have to win and they have Stafford, and why use a pick on a quarterback? And they could get something for it. Now the Patriots, you know, any of these other teams could trump their trade offer if it just comes down to draft picks. You know, the Dolphins have a million draft picks, three in the first round. The Jaguars, the Panthers, all these teams are drafting in the top 10, the Chargers as well. But the Patriots have real players that they can offer, and it's attractive to Detroit because, you know, these are also guys that know the coaching staff and won't have to be taught too much. Whether it's Joe Tooney, I think maybe Stephon Gilmore could be an option. You package Stephon Gilmore and the number 23 pick and go up and get Tua at number three. You get your quarterback and you create a lot of cap space for yourself. So, you know, it's not just about draft picks. You can also trade future picks as well. So there are other ways around it. And I don't know, the fact that Detroit holds the key to Tua and the fact that he's a Nick Saban guy and the Patriots need a quarterback, to me, I just think the door is wide open right now for the Patriots to make a play.
Okay, so Ben, we're with Ben Volen from the Boston Globe here with Barrett and Fitzy on a Saturday on EEI. So you're saying that you could take a veteran whose value will probably be never higher, like a Joe Tooney coming off an incredible season at left guard, or Stephon Gilmore, whose value coming off Defensive Player of the Year, even though he's got a hefty contract, will never be higher. You package that maybe with 23, and if you have to sweeten it with a third, you think that's going to be enough? Because Miami's got three first-round picks. If they want to just unload two of those in a second or whatever else, not that they have the players to offer. I just see it as difficult to leapfrog a team like Miami, who's stocked, and I would imagine Flores is probably pretty enamored with Tua.
Well, so here's the thing about that. You might not have to leapfrog Miami. A lot of the buzz right now is that they're not enamored with Tua. Stephen Ross said so at the Super Bowl. He said, you know, great player, we've gone to see him, but I'm just not so sure with the injuries. And then Schefter was reporting last week that the Dolphins may not be sold on Tua. And this is a year where they're, you know, I think it's a pretty good quarterback class.
Yeah.
All these teams, I think there are enough to go around between Herbert and Love, the kid from Utah State. And I think Jalen Hurts is an intriguing prospect, and Jake Fromm. If you want one of these quarterbacks, you know, I'm not 100% sure that there's going to be this huge bidding war for Tua. I mean, we'll see. So you might not have to leapfrog the Dolphins. But, of course, that is the major hurdle for the Patriots. They don't have great draft capital. They just have the 23rd pick. They don't have a two. And then they have 87, 98, and 100 in the third round. I mean, I think personally, Stephon Gilmore, the number 23 pick, that would get it done, assuming the Lions would want a cornerback. I mean, it doesn't get any better than Stephon Gilmore. And it would really improve the Lions' defense, and I think would help justify to that fan base why they gave up the number 3 pick. I don't think you'd have to sweeten it too much more than that. I got a lot of criticism for some of my trade offers and trade talk on Twitter, which is understandable because Twitter is a giant toilet.
Ben, if you go to compose tweet, you already, before you even send it, you're already getting guff from Pats fans. Come on.
Yes, exactly. But people are using the wrong draft chart when they're looking at points. The old Jimmy Johnson chart that everyone's using is way outdated. It's for the previous NFL when draft picks were more valuable and the economic system was different. There are new charts these days that are much more accurate. And so I don't know if you have to give up a ton to go get Tua. I think you'll have to give up significant. But, you know, the Patriots have never been without a quarterback before. And Tua, I mean, I certainly have my doubts about him, but he's also got superstar potential. So I would love to see the Patriots go big and bold and make the move. And, you know, everyone's talking about Miami and the Chargers and who's going to get Tua. I think it'd be just like the Patriots to come out of nowhere and to snag the guy.
Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. Ben Volen from the Globe is joining us on the Harbor One Bank Hotline. Okay, so you mentioned the concerns with Tua. Of course, the biggest thing right now is the health. Basically, the Tua camp has been using Laura Rutledge of ESPN to basically put out everything that he's fine medically. We see him tweeting out these videos. But Ben, how concerning is the fact that he's coming off hip surgery and he's had two ankle procedures as well?
I mean, obviously, those aren't positives. And you do wonder if Tua can take the hits at the NFL level and if his body will hold up. Yeah, and of course, all the news now is going to be very positive. At the same time, you know, like a guy like Pro Football Doc on Twitter, Dr. David Chow, who used to be the Chargers team doctor, he's been pretty positive about Tua being able to come back from this. And look, is the ankle injury chronic or is it just, something that happened? And the hip injury was pretty much a pretty freak injury. I don't know if it's necessarily like a Bo Jackson situation. To me, it's worth it. And it's another reason, you know, the injuries might scare off some teams. They never scare off the Patriots. Seems like they don't go a year without drafting a kid who's got injury issues. And Tua's undersized. And yeah, he's going to take some hits and all that. But I don't know. I just feel like the Patriots would love to get a mobile type of quarterback like that. They were really hard on Baker Mayfield a couple years ago. They were trying to go, I think, all the way from, you know, number 31 to number 2 or something like that. So I think they could go from number 23 to 3. They can make it happen. And I just, you know, with the Nick Saban connection and, you know, Belichick will get all the inside information he needs, I think there's enough superstar potential with Tua that I would take the risk and I would do it.
I think Pats fans would absolutely love him. I know there are guys here at the station like Wiggy who are not big Tua fans. He also isn't in on Jake Fromm, who I think is pretty good as well. But to me, I see Tua, so long as the health holds up, and I do realize there's that concern, I see him as a left-handed Russell Wilson. I think he moves great. He throws a beautiful ball, makes great calls, and obviously coming from the Saban offense down there in Alabama, he's going to have a little bit of a head start because he's basically playing in a professional offense down there in the SEC. But what do you think this says about Stidham? Because all the things I've heard, Ben, from inside or someone who's got someone on the inside, in addition to everything you know, Jordan Palmer, the quarterback camp in California, everything from Jeff Howe, is that it's super positive, that they like him and they think they can definitely ride with this kid into battle. Do you think this is can't pass up a chance on Tua or a no-confidence vote in Stidham?
I don't think it's a no-confidence vote in Stidham. I have a hard time believing that the Patriots had him for 1 year. He was a fourth-round pick. They saw him throw 4 regular season passes. And they're like, you know what? We're good. This is our guy. He's our quarterback. I mean, it just, it doesn't add up, and especially the Patriots, who are pretty conservative about a lot of that stuff. Now, I'm not saying this is the case, but wouldn't it be realistic if all this hype about Stidham is a way of the Patriots getting people off their trail? You know, like not people not thinking that they're going hard after Tua or hard after a quarterback in the draft. Again, I'm not saying that's the case, but I do wonder if that's what's going on. Maybe they really like what Stidham brings to the table and they want to give him a shot and they want to let him compete for the job. And that'd be great, but they'd be nuts to just hand him the job and say we're set. So, I mean, at minimum, they got to give him some competition. And it ain't Brian Hoyer. He already beat out Brian Hoyer once. Brian Hoyer is here to be a coach and a mentor and a leader in the film room, in the locker room. So I'd like to see them draft a quarterback. And if they don't go, I can understand not going Tua in the first round. And I'd love to see Fromm or Jalen Hurts maybe in the third round. But to me, I don't know, make a play. With considering Detroit holds the key and you've got the connections there and with Alabama, I think the Patriots have a great opportunity to go after Tua. And this just feels like one of these things where you're not going to hear much about it. And then a day before the draft, Ian Rappaport's going to be like, the Patriots quietly met with Tua and love him and blah, blah. You know, it's like going to come out at the last minute. It feels like one of those situations.
Ben Volen from the Globe joins us now on the Harbor One Bank Hotline. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you here on WEEI. So, Ben, one guy that got a lot of criticism last year on the Patriots, of course, the first-round pick, N'Keal Harry. What do you expect from him in year two?
Yeah, I keep hearing that the Patriots got the wrong guy at wide receiver last year. I am very confident that no matter who the wide receiver they pick would have had a bad year, and if N'Keal Harry played for the Seahawks, he would have had a great year. That's just the way the Patriots offense operated last year, and Tom Brady just not having confidence in his rookie. So I think I'm not anywhere close to calling N'Keal Harry a bust. That guy's a freight train when the ball was in his hands. They just need to find ways to get him the ball. And now he's going to have now it's all messed up and who knows what's going to happen. But in theory, you have a full year with the playbook and a full offseason and all that. So to me, he's a big physical beast of a receiver on the outside that I think once they get a new quarterback in there, whether it's Stidham or whoever, I think they're going to like having N'Keal Harry on the outside. And I just think last year was a tough go that he suffered some sort of injury towards the end of camp. And it seems like they could have carried him if they wanted to, but they wanted the roster spots and put him on IR. And then at that point, when you come back in the middle of the season and Tom Brady has a hard time working with young guys, it just wasn't going to work out for him. And whoever that receiver was last year on the Patriots was just not going to make an impact. But, now it's, new offense, new system, a new day in Foxborough, and I think N'Keal Harry still has a lot of potential moving forward.
I think he has a lot of potential moving forward. I think a lot of the guys of the past couple of years will get a chance to get their time, and if there's any brain trust that you would think would get the most out of these kids and find a way to stay competitive with both the veteran leaders they've re-signed as well as the new guys they have and who else they're going to draft, it would be McDaniels and Belichick. I agree with you, Ben, that it's going to be a bit of a bummer if the potential and the development of some of the kids from last year and whoever gets drafted this year gets stunted by whatever happens with COVID-19 as we hope to, emerge from social distancing and get back to anything that resembles normal life, let alone live sports. I mean, I'm counting down the days till I can watch Tiger, Phil, Peyton, and Brady play a round of freaking mini golf on pay-per-view. It's just such a crazy world. But, Adam Schefter made a lot of noise this week, Ben, when he said it was bothering him so much that they were going to go on with the NFL draft now 19 days away, biggest sporting event on everyone's calendar, a draft. And it really bothers him. And he said he had heard other GMs voice a similar concern, yet the NFL has come out and said, don't dare speak against the NFL when it comes to this, or you could face reprimand. Had you heard anything to the like, and how do you feel about it?
I'm okay with the NFL moving ahead with the draft. I mean, I know GMs, they feel they're kind of hung out to dry right now, that they don't have a lot of the information, and they feel naked going into this draft. I do feel for like the non-combine invitees and the small school guys. They didn't really get checked out that well this spring, and so it's going to be tough for teams to find those diamonds in the rough. But I'm okay with the NFL moving forward with the draft and what they did with free agency. It's been a welcome distraction, I think, for a lot of people. Instead of just you know, stewing in our own misery all day about the current situation. It's good to have a distraction, and NFL teams will adapt. They'll figure it out at the draft. Everyone is operating under the same circumstances. So, yeah, they might whiff on some picks or whatever, but who knows? I mean, maybe they do better in the draft this year because they're not overloaded with information. And, you know, I do get in a sense that it's a bad look right now, especially when New York City, you know, where Schefter lives in New York, it's just brutal right now. So maybe that colors his perception a little bit too, just he's living near the worst of it. You know, but when is the right time to do it? It's, you know, I mean, what if we're stuck inside in July, or what if we're stuck, you know, like, when is the right time to do it? Unless you're just going to cancel everything. I mean, this is something that can be done remotely and is part of league business. And I think get as much done as you can while you can until you have to put everything on ice. So I'm okay with what the NFL is doing here with the draft. And frankly, I think for a lot of people, it's a welcome distraction.
All right, that's Ben Volen from the Globe. Ben, thank you so much for the time, and get back to building some forts, man.
All right, and you guys get back to giving us distraction.
Yes, we will do that. Ben, we'll probably see you where everyone has their virtual happy hours, family reunions, and preschool on Zoom sometime in the near future.
Guys.
All right, take care, man. Thanks so much, Ben.
Great stuff. Ben joined us on the Harbor One Bank hotline. I was thinking about this, too, as he was talking through the possibility of the Tua trade. What is going on with the Lions, man? I mean, first of all, they try to get, like, every former Patriot. They've signed Trey Flowers. They traded for Daron Harmon. Think about all the guys that they've been – Danny Amendola goes there, right? And they could possibly make this trade with the Patriots. And I think about it, if I'm
– They also got Danny Shelton.
Yeah, they got Shelton. You think about this from an ownership perspective. These two guys are on the hot seat, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, going into the year. It's not good to have a GM and a head coach of your team – on the hot seat when you have the third overall pick in the draft. Because
now, how did they get the third overall pick again? Well, by sucking, I know exactly how they
You know, Stafford goes down with that back injury, and he was playing through it for a good portion of the season. But think about this. If you're looking at the best, and I totally understand what Ben's saying, is these guys are on the hot seat. So it makes sense that they would want a veteran player, a Joe Tooney, a Stephon Gilmore, Edelman, one of those guys, because they're trying to get into the playoffs and keep their job.
Right.
But in terms of the long-term future of that particular organization, what you would think they would want to do is get the most draft capital going forward so they could start the rebuilding process. But the problem is the coach and the GM aren't looking towards that, because if the team stinks, they're going to say, okay, we just got a bunch of draft picks for the next GM and the next head coach. It's really a bad position to be in if you're the Lions.
That's a great point by you and by Ben there, that they are in a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation. Okay, great. You draft Jeff Okuda, let's say, with the third overall pick. Awesome. You're probably going to be a great cornerback. He was great in college. Is he going to help you win now? Or you trade that to the Patriots and you say, a third and your first and Tooney and, you know, something else gets it done. Or, like, we want Gilmore in 23 because we need to win now. And, you know, we have the money and the space to absorb Gilmore. If you're the Pats, do you do that? Because that probably puts them in a better stead, even though they had a cornerback who at least could, you know, set up shop in the neighborhood of Gilmore with Darius Slay, but they pissed him off and sent him to Philadelphia for nothing.
That was such a weird story, too. Like, basically,
and they bring in Desmond Trufant, who I don't think is as good.
He was
hurt all the time and isn't as good as Slay.
Well, and the other component to that is you had the story that came out from Darius Slay about Patricia. Basically, he was upset that he worked out with Richard Sherman in the offseason. He said he's not on that level. So wouldn't you want him to work out with that player? Like, it doesn't make sense. The whole logic behind it makes no sense whatsoever. And look, maybe he wasn't perfect for the scheme, but you're just getting rid of good players if you're Matt Patricia. And it seems like the team, quite frankly, based on all these stories that are coming out with the Lions, they don't really like the coach. So it seems like he's just trying to get all his old players to come over so that they can all get on the same page or something. They built a hill there, too. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
Like, they built the hill like the Patriots have?
Yep.
And by the way, if say hypothetically, I know this is all hypothetical now,
it's unbelievable how badly they're trying to be the Patriots. Just be yourself.
God. Well, that's the problem with a lot of these former Belichick guys, right?
That's what McDaniel said he screwed up doing back in 09. When
Mangini?
Yep.
So I wonder, too, like, if he thinks, if I get Gilmore, so I have Gilmore to cover Davante Adams of the Packers, and I could have Gilmore to cover Thielen of the Vikings because Diggs is gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at us. Here we go. We can make a run in this. That division, I get the Vikings made the playoffs, and I get the Packers made the playoffs, but there's not a lot of electric offenses in that division. So I could see themselves convincing themselves to go after an older player. But, man, that is a really, really poor way to build an organization right now. That place is a dumpster fire.
And Barrett, I'll tell you tell me, or rather I'll ask, how many people can you remember leaving New England and being super critical of the organization and throwing them under the bus and saying, man, I couldn't wait to get out from underneath Bill Belichick. That guy's a prick, and I hope I never play for something like him again. The closest you'll get is Welker saying that eventually it wasn't quite as fun as he wanted it to be, but, man, they won, and he learned so much here. That's the most critical anybody gets. Anyone gets out of Detroit, the first thing they say is, like, man, that place sucks. That's the worst. Playing for Matt Patricia, like, no one says a good word about them whatsoever. So everyone can just walk the whole, like, Belichick drives everyone so crazy that he ends up irking the players out of town thing. And maybe you should be glad that the defensive rocket science surgeon mastermind of Super Bowl 52, who played party to, you know, Malcolm Butler not playing in the game and allowed Nick Foles to throw for about 10,000 yards in a Super Bowl defeat, is out of town and he's Detroit's problem, not ours anymore.
Remember when he told the reporter to stop slouching to respect the process?
Right.
It's like, dude, you're wearing sweatpants.
You look like the manager at a Long John Silver, and you're telling this guy to not slouch?
Well, at least he wears his hat frontwards now. He doesn't wear it backwards anymore. That was an issue for a while. It's Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next hour and a half or so. The number to hop on board here is 617-779-7937. We'll give you our take on the Tua Tagovailoa sweepstakes. If we were the Patriots, would we go after Tua? We'll tell you in just a little bit after a trending here on WEEI.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. President Trump had a conference call with all the major sports commissioners today to address issues surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. That call started at noon. A press briefing is scheduled for 3:30 this afternoon. ESPN's Brian Windhorst reports the NBA is angling towards shutting down the remainder of the season. Former Patriots receiver Antonio Brown has been charged in connection with a January incident. A delivery truck driver alleged Brown and his trainer assaulted him outside of Brown's South Florida home. Brown has officially been charged with burglary, conveyance, misdemeanor battery, and misdemeanor criminal mischief. Former Celtic Kevin Garnett is part of the 2020 Hall of Fame class. Garnett was a 15-time NBA All-Star. He helped lead the Seas to the title in 08. Garnett was also named the Defensive Player of the Year in that season. The late, great Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan also part of that class. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Yeah, I'm not against it. Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit.
Yes.
Is that official? So two things have happened here. They've had a couple bad drafts dating back to the Deflategate losing that first round pick that year. But if you just look at the totality of the drafts from like 15 through last year, not the same. And, you know, they kind of ebb and flow with these little runs that the Pats have, depending on how the drafts were. The second run that they had, where they won the 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, it was a lot of that had to do with the drafts that they had, the moves they made the years before. Same thing with the first three, 01 and 03 and 04.
All right, that was Bill Simmons on with Colin Cowherd earlier this week on his show, The Herd, on FS1. And basically, Simmons saying he's already heard that the possibility that Edelman could be traded to Detroit.
Now, that was going around a little bit on April Fool's Day.
I did see a fake trade that Edelman was going to Detroit, but he basically put it out there that, oh, maybe this could be a possibility. And Cowherd said, yeah, that's going around there. I don't know where else that was going around there, but apparently Cowherd said it was. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next hour and a half or so. The number is 617-779-7937. We both think that they're going to start the season with Edelman on the team. At the very least, I believe they're going to start the season with him. If you don't, you don't have anybody else that you're guaranteed, whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Tua, if you can do this trade that Ben just pointed out, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, whether it's Stidham, whether Hoyer, if that happens, I'm going to be miserable watching Hoyer play. But nonetheless,
not happening.
Right. You want at least an established receiver to begin the season.
Yes, and to help develop Jarrett Stidham or whoever your quarterback is if the Pats decide to hang him high and let him fly and try to get after Tua. Like, that's exactly what you want to do. It doesn't make any sense at all to me, but of course, this is exactly why Detroit would do it, because if it doesn't make any sense, Detroit's up for it. Why would you go try to get Edelman? I understand that they're in win-now mode for people that are on their third year and have mismanaged wildly with all the talent they have there. When they signed Amendola in 2013, my point is that Detroit already has their own Edelman in an Amendola, and he's been excellent for them. Why go get Edelman as well? Amendola was signed in 2013 to basically replace Welker, and they paid close to Welker money for him. And it turns out that Amendola was great, but he got hurt a lot in 2013. And then Edelman developed much faster and was much better than they thought he ever would be. I mean, he exploded in 2013.
Right.
Then they found a way to work with a big on the outside like a LaFell. They called them the Pygmies, and then they had the tight ends. And the Patriots' offense was great because it could attack you from almost any spot on the field. That's when I think the Pats offense, like 2014 Patriots offense, may be my favorite of all time. But
I think you could argue that's their best team. You had Revis.
2014?
Revis on that defense.
Awesome team. Awesome team. And just a great, great offense. But, Blunt was great, and they had Shane Vereen was in the Kevin Falk, Danny Woodhead, James White role. Just killed it. But you don't need two slot receivers to go alongside the talent they have on the wide side in Detroit. Like, that offense is all about Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. Like, they've got an excellent running back as well. That's the last place they would need to send Edelman. But at the same time, if they want him and they want to pay a premium for him at this point, maybe they would listen. But I think there's incredible value for Edelman staying in New England and helping along the next quarterback.
Yeah, and by the way, the reason I say the 14 Patriots may be the best team is because 07 didn't finish. Obviously, 07 was the most talented Patriots team of all time, but they didn't finish the job. I know a lot of people throw around the 04 team, but, I mean, you could have an argument about a bunch of these different Patriots teams that actually hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. But to the Edelman thing, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me from Detroit's perspective, as you're pointing out. And the other thing I would point to is a lot of teams already upgraded via free agency. This draft class is stacked with wide receivers mm-hmm. all over the place. And Mel Kiper said it's, and I know people make fun of Mel Kiper, but he said it's the most stacked class since 96 in terms of receivers, when you had Marvin Harrison and T.O. and Keyshawn went first overall. So it just doesn't make sense. It would seem like if you are eventually going to trade Edelman, there would be more value at the trading deadline. Remember last year, you gave up a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu. So you could probably get something of similar value if you put Edelman on the market, if you realize our season's going south. But back to what we were talking with Ben about, would you want the Patriots to move up? If this all works itself out and the stars align, would you want them to go up and get Tua?
If Detroit calls tomorrow and says, Tooney, 23, and...
87 is the one he put in there.
Yesterday, please, done, thank you. And, Do you want us to throw in a huge box of lobsters from the lobster trap in Bourne, or you want some chowder from Legal Seafood? Whatever you want. Oh God, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm with you, because remember there was a tank Love for Tua thing before the season started. It was tanking for Tua. That's what everybody thought Miami was doing. They were tanking for Tua. So I get it. There's injuries there, but if you can get that player at number three in the draft because the Lions are willing to work with you because they're in this weird position organizationally where it doesn't really make sense for them to make that trade, but because of where the coach and the GM are at, that they'd make the deal, I would do it in a second. I don't care as much with the injury history as other people do, considering that there was, before the season, no chance you were getting Tua. And now if you could go from Brady to Tua, that's like Manning to Luck type situation that you could actually be in. So from my perspective, if you can do it, go ahead. The one thing I would say is, can you imagine how pissed off not only the rest of the league would be, but the rest of the fans around the country would be if the Patriots actually pull this trade off that Ben Volen pointed out in the Globe could be a possibility? Because to me, it reminds me almost of, like, do you remember when, obviously you remember, when the Celtics won the championship in 08, at the deadline that year, the Lakers made a trade for Pau Gasol. And basically, nobody knew Marc Gasol was going to be good at the time. He was like this fat, overweight guy that wasn't even playing. He was a second-round pick.
And now he's still playing.
Yeah. He turned out to be good, but nobody knew it at the time.
Right.
So Jerry West was working for the Grizzlies, even though he didn't directly make the trade. Everybody thought it was a joke. Greg Popovich spoke out about it. He was pissed off about it. And it just felt like this is not right. Like, this should not be happening. That's how I feel people would react around the NFL. Oh. If the Patriots trade with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia for the third pick, I would be so happy to see how irritated other fan bases would be.
It would be spectacular. And it does make sense for Detroit's, from Detroit's perspective. If you can get a boss on your offensive line, or you can get a stud, lockdown, shutdown cornerback, or a combination of players therein, and also get a couple extra draft picks in the process too, like a third, a first, and some NFL ready talent for a win now organization that just needs to get their head out of their collective. You know what? It kind of does make sense for Detroit and for the Patriots. If they can go from 20 years of Tom Brady to Tua Tagovailoa, I'm just going to say Tua. If they can go from Tom to Tua, it would be, I think that kid actually does have the it, the swag, the moxie to be able to step into Brady's shoes and say, okay, I'll take the heat. I want that smoke. I mean, the kid, his college debut was being inserted into the national championship in the second half when Jalen Hurts was struggling throwing the ball, and all the kid did was throw three touchdown passes, including a dime for 47 yards in overtime to win the game and shock the Georgia Bulldogs. He's great. Yes, he had the Bo Jackson injury last year, but thank God medical science is 30 years advanced from when Bo Jackson had it. If he can hold up and you can make that deal, you pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I've seen him play every single big game that he's been in. I'm not going to act like I watch Alabama play these stupid schools. Not stupid schools, but you know what I mean.
The small games.
Citadel. I didn't watch him play the Citadel.
You missed a hell of a game.
Every game they played that was a meaningful game, I saw him play. And I understand he was not great in the national championship game a couple of years ago against Clemson, although he did throw for 400 yards. So he did do that, although his completion percentage wasn't high. The thing that sticks out to me is his anticipatory skills are ridiculous, and his deep ball is ridiculous. So if you have it's the gorgeous opportunity to go and get him, I would. And to Ben's point, he puts it out in the article, is if anybody has an insight on this, it would be Belichick, because he can talk to Saban. They just did a documentary together. They're really good friends. Hey, how serious is his hip thing? Oh, he's going to be fine. Saban's not going to lie to him. If Saban thinks he's damaged goods, he's not going to put that out publicly, but I'm pretty sure he'd tip Belichick off like, yeah, you may not want to do that.
Presumptive overall number one pick last year before he gets hurt, and then Joe Burrow comes from out of nowhere and takes the top spot. Burrow doesn't want to go to Cincinnati. I think Miami's in on Burrow. And for all we know, Cincinnati would probably hard pass on Tua. There's a chance. I'm not saying that there's a great chance, and for Pats fans to start getting their hopes up, like, yeah, we're going to get Tua. We're going to be awesome. Yeah, we'll see. Like, he's going to run it for the next 15 years. Hold on. There's just a chance.
Yeah.
And if given that chance, I think the Patriots would do it, even if it cost them some veteran players that we've grown accustomed to or that we love. People would freak out about Gilmore. You know what they have? A lot of secondary depth.
That's true. Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson, and obviously
Jawan Williams.
Yeah, we'll see.
And Jason McCourty.
Yeah, Gilmore's the best to do it right now in the sport. But if you were giving up the best cornerback in the NFL for 15 years of a franchise quarterback, you make that deal.
You make that deal
any day of the week. I don't care if you're Deion Sanders. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Jake. He's in Boston. What's up, Jake?
Fitzy, I got my Brady Bucks jersey here, and while you're trying to offer added value for a 1-15 team with your Kevin Falk club seat interviews, my new Bucks season tickets, $450, all 10 games. And if the NFL can release their schedule, I can get flights cheaper than parking at Gillette. Now, Brian, you're a publicist's dream, given how far you've sunk to kiss Kraft's ring on this thing. Jemele Hill had an agenda, sure. You're telling me Bob Kraft didn't have an agenda with these masks? Really?
So you don't think he did it to help people? You think he just did it for the public perception?
No. Lots of companies can make an N95 mask, but there's only one Tom Brady, and this was a gutless PR stunt designed to make people forget that Robert Kraft let him walk away. And listen,
Jake. You think this has something to do with Tom Brady leaving the Patriots? That's why he did it?
This is a cover-up, just like when he called ESPN 5 minutes after putting out that statement. Brady put out that statement. Listen, before you try and...
I'm not defending that.
Jake, that's two different things.
He called up First Take, I thought that was a joke. I said at the time, Robert Kraft, the way he handled the Brady situation was
terrible.
And I don't even disagree with the move. I just meant the way he handled it in terms of later on in the week, he's throwing Belichick under the bus. And at the beginning of the week, he's throwing Brady under the bus. I didn't like that at all. But that has nothing to do with him sending over a plane to get masks. I don't know how the two things are connected.
If Bob Kraft really cared about helping people, he wouldn't have grandstanded his plane out there. He made his money off of paper, right? And everyone needs toilet paper right now. So he could have made toilet paper, sat back, and kept his mouth shut. Instead, he's very happy to go dangle his plane out there, go all the way to China, do his press conference when he should be in quarantine, and take all the credit. Largely because he wants people to forget he let the greatest thing that ever happened to his entire life walk out the door.
Jake, let me ask you a question. So do you think if Tom Brady was still a member of the Patriots, Robert Kraft wouldn't have sent the plane?
I think he would have done it maybe for ego, but I think this certainly enticed him.
Yeah,
how can I get people to like me again? How can I get people to forget that Tom Brady was the great? Listen, we've lost, and life is worth living. So the big picture here is a lot of people don't realize this yet, but if we do get back to normal and Tom Brady is not in that Patriot uniform like he has been for the last 20 years, it's kind of like when the Beatles broke up with John Lennon, right? You know, Belichick and Brady doing it together, it meant something to this region. It meant something to the public good associated with this region. It was part of the recovery process from this whole thing. If they were together, even if they went 8-8, people would have been frustrated, but they would have been happy to see their familiar faces there. And before
Jake,
we get
Jake,
into
hold
life
on,
here,
Jake, because, Jake, hold on. This is how this works. Like, you say something, then one of us will react. So slow down a little bit. I want to point this out. You just said that this region will be happy to watch the Patriots be 8-8. We were all pissed last year when the Patriots were 12-4. So you think people would have been okay with the Patriots being 8-8 next year with Tom Brady? Everybody would have been pissed. I have no idea where you're getting this from. Would you rather be 8-8
with Tom Brady or 5-11 by paying the McCourty brothers $16 million?
You act like this is like two different things. Like the McCourty brothers, that's the reason Brady's not here. That's not the reason Brady's not here.
The reason Brady's not here is because Bob Kraft could have stepped in and overruled Bill Belichick because he realizes that both Tom and Bill have made him $1 billion. And now people are upset at Bob, and he's got to go get his plane over to China.
Jake, seriously, hold on. Just before we bid each other farewell and Godspeed and stay healthy, do you seriously think that the Patriots, and you're talking to somebody who literally is only sitting here and has made such a large part of my life cheering for a guy who's 3 years my junior and plays quarterback in the National Football League, who I would have loved to have seen, as I've said time and again, go box to wire, cradle to grave in the one uniform where he's a six-time Super Bowl champion. But do you really think it would have unified us as a region and helped us rally round the troops coming off of a pandemic and global crisis if they paid Tom Brady top dollar? And then they weren't able to give him a supporting cast. And then the poor guy goes 9-7 and we actually have to watch Brady, let's say, God forbid, lose the AFC East to the Bills. Would that have been better than just getting a chance to buy your $450 season tickets, cheer from in Tampa and see a reboot of the Patriots after 20 years of dominance? I can't get those pieces to add up. And I'm as sad about Brady leaving as you are.
Fitzy, this isn't your dog here. Like, you can't just buy a new dog.
Wait,
that's
who's
what
the dog here?
Like. The you're treating this like Tom Brady's just anyone else. What we have had here for the last 20 years is never going to be duplicated again. And all of you idiots who think that Jared Studham's going to walk in there and be this, it's going to be same old, same old, aren't seeing
who
reality.
Said that? Who them in
the
said face. That?
How have the Bulls been since 1998?
Jake.
How have the Bulls been?
Yeah,
They've been irrelevant. And that's what we're getting into here. So I want to hold on to this as long as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day here, Bob Kraft getting his plane and going out, it has more to do with his legacy.
Yeah. All right, we've already heard this. All right, Jake, we appreciate it. Right, we've already heard that point.
Yeah,
so now we're going full circle. So what we learned.
This is getting to people.
What we learned is Bob Kraft only did this to make up for the bad PR that he got from Brady.
Yep.
So that for some reason, Kraft chose the McCourty twins over Brady.
Yep.
So that was part of the equation.
We're paying the McCourty $16 million.
I don't know.
You could have been paying Tom Brady. I don't like the departure.
And then apparently, Fitzy, you would have been happy. You're a Patriots fan. You would have been happy if they went 8-8 with Brady. Everybody's pissed this year when they were 12-4.
But I'm going to be cheering from my super expensive Kevin Falk club seats for the 1-15 Pats this year. Don't forget, Jake started by junk punching me before he turned his vitriol towards Kraft and you, Barrett.
I mean, that was something. That was a legend.
This is what happens when you leave someone on hold for over a half an hour.
That was pretty legendary.
That was excellent. Dear everyone else, just want to let you know, bar has been raised. Angry call of the day.
Yeah, that was something.
None of it
made sense. Apparently, Devin McCourty and Jason McCourty, the Patriots signed you instead of Brady.
Yep, and as you pointed out earlier, this was obviously Robert Kraft's first ever philanthropic effort.
Yeah,
he's taken over the team. He's never done anything for cancer patients, the nation state of Israel, women's rights, the Partners Healthcare facility.
Yep.
Yeah, no. He should be. Oh, and by the way, he should be making toilet paper.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. That guy, you want to talk? Maybe we should set up a new segment on Saturdays called Axe to Grind with Jake from Boston, and he can just air it out. If that's what helps keep him healthy and happy at his house, by all means, we're here for you.
The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next hour or so. We'll get back into the Tom Brady conversation. We want to get into the most underappreciated Boston athletes of this time, but you're welcome to weigh in on the Tua Tagovailoa situation. If you could pull the trigger, would you trade up for Tua? Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you on WEI.
The WEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEI Sports Radio Network.
On the other side, how do you think the Patriots are going to do with their first year without Tom Brady?
Interesting. Something that we knew it was going to happen at some point, but didn't think it was going to happen this quick or this soon, even though it's been 20 years. Up in the air. Still got trust in Coach Belichick and his staff, but it's still going to be up in the air. And I think it's going to be still a smart football team that's going to know how to win football games in tight situations. But it's going to be a little different, and the field is going to be a little different. But they have confidence in the quarterback. I can tell you that much. They would have never gotten rid of Brian Hoyer last year if they didn't have confidence instead.
All right, that was Kevin Falk earlier this week as part of Brady Week. A lot of his former teammates weighing in on Tom Brady. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. By the way, this is from Adam Schefter. Donald Trump also told commissioners that he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September, sources said, though it is currently unclear if medical experts find that to be a realistic timeline amid the current coronavirus pandemic.
Wow. So that's the big takeaway that's leaked out before the 3:30 presser that Trump is going to be doing from the White House. Hopes to have fans, not just live sports, back. We'll see if there's any chance they might start being able to play some games with either, you know, certified, healthy, tested negative athletes from different locations or at neutral sites come July, but hopes to have them back by August or September. Wow, that puts the NFL in jeopardy.
By the way, Schefter tweeted this out. In a conference call with Major League Sports commissioners on Saturday, President Donald Trump said he believes the NFL season should start on time in September. Sources familiar with the call told at Woj ESPN and me. So,
wow.
President Trump saying that he expects the season to begin in September.
What do you think? That's huge. You know, everyone, that's like one of the great sarcastic replies on Twitter. Huge if true. But that actually is huge if it's true. And now, what do you think about college football? I know around here people don't care about it as much, but it is the second most popular sport in America by a wide margin. We're talking like, I don't know if you've ever been to like Clemson, Alabama.
I've been to Ole Miss, which is crazy.
Ole Miss.
Two of my brothers went there.
Oh, the Grove's incredible. One of the great tailgates, even though you can't actually cook on the Grove. College Station. Like I've been to A&M when I did the tailgating show for CBS years ago. You have, within a couple miles, within the stadium, in like a 1.5 mile radius, 200,000 people any given Saturday. So, I mean, if you think it's a scene when you pack out Gillette or when you go on the road and you go see the Patriots play the Dolphins or down to the play of the Texans. These scenes in college football they're like metropolitan areas gathering to just like cook meat, you know, crush light beer and watch college football. How is that going to be possible this fall?
Yeah, and I think there's also going to be a portion of people that are going to be scared to start integrating again because you're afraid a second wave of this could happen. But the other thing that I would point out to is with that timeline, now President Trump said that he expects the NFL season. This is according to Adam Schefter. There was just a conference call today, if you're unaware, between the commissioners of the major sport leagues and President Trump. There's going to be a briefing at 3:30, but Adam Schefter tweeting out some of the information that he was told that President Trump said that they believe that the NFL season will start on time. But they assume sports will restart in August and September. Well, what does that do to the NHL and the NBA? Is it even worth at that time restarting your season when most seasons, the NBA and especially the NHL starts before the NBA in early October? And Brian Windhorst of ESPN had earlier this week that they were basically the NBA is more likely not to begin now based on they monitored everything that went on with China. They tried to restart the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, and then they couldn't do that. And the problem is with people that are asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue in all this as well. So
Italy looks to roll out the antibody signature card so that people can actually be able to prove that they've had it and that they're healthy enough to reintegrate into sports society, wherever else at this point now. I think if I'm at the betting window right now, NHL is, in the words of Fourier, Dunsky. NBA is on, NBA's hanging on by a string and a prayer. And baseball, you may see baseball start like the, isn't the conversation that they may try to start up in Florida, at some spring training parks, or that they may try to do some neutral site baseball?
After last week, they said they would not play in front of no fans, so they completely changed course on that.
Have you ever been at a point in your life, or did you ever think you'd reach a point where you would, you know, where you would give a toe to watch Diamondbacks Brewers?
I know. Like, I would watch any baseball
game
right
so
now.
Bad. I would pay to watch anybody play anybody right now. Like, if you told me San Francisco Giants versus Minnesota Twins was on, I'd be in my seat a half. Are you kidding? Yeah.
I mean, I get fired up for these old games on TV now. Never mind like an actual real
sporting event. There was just an ad over your shoulder on NFL Network, I guess, that they're going to replay the Super Bowl where the Packers, spoiler alert, beat the Steelers years ago. I only watched that game once. It was a good game. I guess I'm going to watch that.
So, yeah, that was Big Ben and Aaron Rodgers going back and forth. So, by the way, just to get back to what we're saying, this is kind of breaking news. Of course, President Trump met with the major commissioners of the sports leagues today, and here was Adam Schefter's tweets. In a conference call with Major League Sports commissioners on Saturday, President Trump said he believes the NFL season should start on time in September. Sources familiar with the call told at Woj ESPN and me. Donald Trump also told commissioners that he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September, sources said, though it's currently unclear if the medical experts find that to be a realistic timeline amid the current coronavirus pandemic. So that's the latest from Adam Schefter. Not shocked at all that Schefter is the guy that gets the first tweets out there. All the major sports commissioners just met with President Trump, and Schefter, of course, the first to have all this information. So if you want to weigh in on that, certainly welcome to do so. The number 617-779-7937. And as more information comes out from the conference call between the president and the commissioners of the various sports leagues, we'll continue to update you on that. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.